Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Trevor Knight, we call him here on the show Mr. Keep It Real. He's the analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies on Bally Sports. Grizzlies kick off the season with a dub last night. John Morant, another amazing debut for him. Brevin joins us now. Mr. Keep It Real, what's good?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, everything is good on this end, man, especially when John Morant comes out like that. You know, look, you have two choices, right? You can come out a little bit like the Brooklyn Nets and just say it's an 82-game season and, you know, we'll try again tomorrow. Or you can come out like Ja did last night. What is it about him that makes him so good, you know, especially in these openers? He loves setting the tone.
Well, the list is long of why he's good. I mean, there's a number of things, but I think the first and foremost is the competitive nature that he has. And if you remember, he was not a heralded player, even though within his circle, everybody knew how good he can be and what he did, but in terms of the masses, and nobody was expecting much from him, so he played with that chip to try to show, number one, that what his skill set is and that he belonged in any and every conversation with good players. And then once he got to the league, it's no different. He still wants to show that, and he said that he feels as though he's a top 5 point guard in the league. And last night didn't show anything different. So I think the one thing that's, if you want to kind of put a bow on it or encompass everything, the skills of what he has, but I think it's the competitive nature that he has, the chip that he has on his shoulder, is what pushes him on a daily basis.
Now, we know that when Dylan gets back, you know, Ja won't have as much of the scoring load on him as he did last night. But if he continues, Brevin, to play, if it looks like this on most nights, maybe it's not 37, but it's aggressive Ja. He's using that mid-range game, you know, not scared to take the three. Are we looking at an all-star season, even in a packed West where you got a ton of guards that are all-stars? I mean, will they be able to deny him if he continues to play like he did last night?
You would think that you could not deny him with what he did last night. If he was to continue the way he played from the play-in game to the playoffs,
yep,
through what he has done through the preseason and game one, then there's no doubt that he should be an all-star. I mean, he's the game and what he is doing at this point. He is. I've told a lot of people at this point he's must-watch TV, mm-hmm. But he still does it with a team-winning mentality. And so I think that's what makes him a little bit different than the other guys that you call scorers in our game, is that he can score, but he also facilitates. He's also sets the offense, sets the tone for this team. So I think if at the level that he is playing right now, if he can continue, yep, this level, definitely should be an all-star.
What else did you like? I mean, getting the win, obviously, Ja was spectacular. But in terms of the good that stood out last night, what was there at the top of the list for you?
Steven Adams, okay, was huge for me, and he was big for me. He and Desmond Bane, but I thought Steven Adams was big because the one thing that enabled the Grizzlies to have success last year was second chance points, offensive rebounding, and that's what Valanciunas was excellent at. And so to see Steven go out and get 6 offensive rebounds, but had his hands on countless other ones that he didn't come up with. This team will need to be able to have more possessions than opponents on a nightly basis. Then the other thing for him was the facilitating from the top of the key or the elbow areas. The passes that he was making last night were phenomenal. They were on point, leading his guys towards the basket. They didn't have to fumble with it. It wasn't a roll pass. It wasn't too high. It was at the right height of catch it up, pick it up, and lay it in. And then for Desmond Bane, defensively, he's going to have to continue to be good and relied upon. But on the offensive end, to score the 22 and only have 2 made threes,
yeah,
that was encouraging because I think playing with the basketball was big for him in summer league and also in the preseason. But just the level of comfort that he has playing in that starting lineup is going to pay dividends because he had shot opportunities and he created his own shot opportunities while being out there with that starting unit. So to see his level of comfortability being in that starting lineup was good.
You know, it wasn't a negative. It wasn't like it didn't take away. But, you know, there are a lot of eyes on Jaren. You know, he gets the new contract and he's got a full off season of health. And, you know, this is a year where he has a lot of expectations, both just in terms of his availability and then what he does in those minutes. Last night wasn't his best night, 13-6, struggled from the field. And in terms of maximizing his effectiveness, you know, is it what it looked like last night? Is that what it has to continue to be? Does there need to be, you know, some mix? Like, I guess just what's your sort of blueprint for how you get the absolute most out of Jaren's 31 minutes?
Well, the number one thing is we won't play against a front line of 3 7-footers.
Yep.
That's first and foremost. And last night was a situation in that he didn't have the length advantage that he usually has over his opponent. Being defended by Mobley just as long, defended by Jared Allen just as long. Markkanen never defended him. But they had enough size that it made it a little bit more difficult for him, especially off the dribble, to create a shot. The other thing was he still hasn't really played a lot of meaningful basketball in the last 2 seasons. So to have to get his regular season legs underneath him, and this team still is going to have to figure out the preseason is one thing. You can get what you want because it's mix and match lineups. Nobody really does a lot of scouting of the other teams. But when you get to the regular season, now there's full-on scouting. You're playing against regulars, not guys that may be in a lineup and maybe not. So he has to just find his rhythm playing against those guys, but also the team playing with him in normal situations. I don't worry about Jaren at all. And the one thing I would say is that I don't feel as though he has to live up to the contract. The money that guys make today is where the game is. If you have a guy that is a potential cornerstone for you, he's going to make over $20 million. That's just what the numbers are. And so the contract that he got is going to be a great contract for this team. It's going to be good for him. It's going to be good for the team. And I think as the season goes along, we'll see the Jaren Jackson Jr. that we saw in the last couple of preseason games more than what we saw in this game one.
How much does not having Dylan Brooks affect what you're trying to do in your effectiveness defensively? Because it sure seemed like, you know, missing that force and a guy who says, look, you know, I want to shut him down. That's as important to me as going out here and hitting, you know, 3 threes, 4 threes, whatever it is. That's a priority for me. It felt like he was desperately missed on that end last night, Brevin. What did you think?
Yeah, he was missed on the defensive end. What we really missed with him and something that they tried to address with drafting Zaire, with the trade for Jared Culver, was the team needed more size at the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were undersized when you start. You can get away with it some games when you're going to play Desmond Bane, Ja, and De'Anthony Melton. Yeah, I think you can – most games you can get away.
Right.
But there are going to be those times – where you need a bigger wing defender, a bigger wing guard. That's what Dylan gives this team. And so when he comes back, it's not just the defense that missed. He also is a guy that can create his own shot on the offensive end because when this team goes and has the offensive lows, which every team, everybody goes through it within the game, you need guys that can get you out of it quickly and guys that can do it by themselves at times. And Dylan is that type of player. So sorely missed on the defensive side because of his size and just yeah. who he is as a defender, but also on the offensive side. And it was a great offensive night. We put up 132. But he offensively can also still help this team not have to worry about those offensive lows.
We are, of course, talking to Brevin Knight, a.k.a. Mr. Keep It Real, here on the show. Catch him on Bally Sports during Grizzlies broadcast. He's on there breaking it down. One of the best in the business, as always. Look, in terms of, you know, Ja, it's interesting. We were talking about this earlier. You know, when the Grizzlies wound up with number two, everybody was ecstatic because that was sort of just considered such a, you know, either guy you end up with, Zion or Ja, you're going to be fine. Your franchise is going to be fine. But it almost feels like, based on the way Zion's career has gone, he wasn't out there last night. The Pelicans get routed at home. Meanwhile, in contrast, your Ja Morant's getting MVP chance inside FedEx Forum. Like, it almost feels like the Grizzlies won the lottery, even though they didn't win the lottery.
But to me, they did win the lottery, and it's something that I talked about, was that this picking number two was big for the Grizzlies, because if they were number one,
that's right,
the overwhelming pressure from society and what everyone else said was that we would have had to take Zion. But if you looked at the makeup of our team, he wasn't the best player for our team. Ja Morant was the best player. This team needed a point guard. They needed a leader. You already had your power forward that you thought was going to be the guy to take you further and move as you move forward in the years to come. To now add the pressure of now saying, so can Zion and Jaren play together, or do they play opposite? Is now Zion the really guy? I thought it would create friction. But you have another guy out there who was perfect for this team. Exactly what they needed. They needed the personality. They needed the athleticism. They needed the excitement. They needed his creativity. And he lived up to the building all the way through. So I thought once they luckily got to two, I mean, when it got down to who was going to be, who was going to be first, I was crossing my fingers that the Grizzlies stayed at number two. And just because I felt like Ja Morant was a better fit for this organization and where they were trying to now go to over if they would have taken Zion.
Well, on the subject of Zion, Brevin, you know, you're reading about, you know, the sort of rift almost between him and New Orleans. Like they didn't know about a certain procedure until, you know, the day or two before media day. And now, you know, there's reports that Zion Williamson is over 300 pounds, which, you know, that's a huge concern in terms of durability and his ability on the court. What do you sort of see as the future for Zion in New Orleans?
I think it's one in which they have to figure out what the rest of the pieces around him look like, what style of basketball are you going to try to play. And then from there, I think that's your blueprint, and then you go out and execute whatever that blueprint is. At this point, they're kind of jumping all over. You had a coach, then they said, we're going to go with Van Gundy. Well, does Van Gundy fit all the players that you really have? He's a defensive-minded veteran coach. You got a bunch of young guys that want to get up and down the floor, create highlight plays. Just didn't think that was a good match. So I think they have to do a better job within their front office, within the guys that they have, whatever that plan is. And then you got to try to work the plan. You can't go every year, it can't be a new plan. It can't be a new way that we're going to play. You have to figure out what your style is going to be, who's going to be the person that can hold people accountable, and then figure out and play. So if they can't do that, then we'll be looking at him playing for another team as he moves forward. But he's going to have to physically make sure that he takes care of himself, because the thing is the big term, and if you're a down south person, is you just country strong. It's nothing that you've done. It's the way that you eat, the way you're brought up, and I kind of liken it to Raymond Felton. Never used to get in the weight room a lot, but was one of the strongest people that I ever played against. And South Carolina kid from down south, it was just how he was. And I think Zion's the same way. That's just the physical makeup of his body. But he's going to have to just tailor it so that he can play a long season, don't want to continue to have too much pounding on his joints. But they just have to have a better plan and how to execute their plan of action.
Brevin, if right after we got done with this hit, Ben Simmons called you, and he said, Mr. Keep It Real, I need some advice. I need to know what I need to do at this point. It's an absolute mess. But I also, I need to be out of here because they hurt my feelings. Best to keep it real. They hurt me last
right.
year when they talked.
Right.
What should I do, Brevin? What can I do at this point?
First and foremost, you should have never went back to Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have never gone back to Philadelphia, because at the end of the day, the Philadelphia situation is dead. Between the relationship between how the organization treated, how he played, the comments that were made, how they shopped him, all of that did not make for a situation where we can come back and kumbaya, let's go out play and do all the right. best. The other thing that there was, nowhere in the world he can play in front of the Philadelphia 76ers fans as the home player.
Mm-hmm.
He will get booed every time he touches the ball. And I don't know if he is strong enough to be able to take that on a nightly basis, that type of hounding from your own home fans, because it's going to happen.
Yep.
And so I would tell him at this point, if you go back to Philadelphia, if you're going to go back, then – you can't allow the 76ers to control the narrative by kicking you out of practice,
right.
suspending you. You can't allow that to happen, because now all of the weight is on their side now. At least before, you had enough people saying, man, the 76ers handle that bad. I see why he's not going back. They need to trade him. But now you allow everybody to take the side of the 76ers. So the one thing I would say is go to practice hard. Do all of your individual work. When it's time to play in the game, play the game the right way. Do all of those little things, because if you were the business side of this was, you should have stayed home.
Yep.
Once you gave up that power and you showed up, now I got to show up and perform. And it's going to be extremely hard. And I thought with the comments that were made, with what he said, not going back, that there was no way in hell he could ever play for the 76ers again. And I still feel that way.
Oh, I think you're right.
What did you make of the Lakers their first look with – I mean, everybody was out there. I mean, I know they had some guys banged up, whatever. But, you know, the big three of LeBron, AD, and Russ, they were all out there, and it did not equate to a victory. What did you think?
I thought when was Russell Westbrook, like, really effective? He was effective when he was in Oklahoma City, and they gave him the basketball – and he just ran breakneck speed.
Mm-hmm.
Shot the shots he needed to take. That's when he was good. When he went to Houston,
mm-hmm.
was he good in Houston?
Yeah.
As the other guy?
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
So why it's no different now going to L.A.? You're the other person, because the point guard is LeBron James. I don't care what happens. He's going to get the basketball. So now you have a guy who really, his sense of worth is the pace that he plays at, putting pressure on the front of the rim. Now he's just a standstill jump shooter. Can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not his strength. So in some way, they're going to have to figure out how can they play off of one another, away from each other also. It's fine if you want to start them. Then you take one of them out early, and then you put the other one back in later in the first quarter when the other one comes out, so that he can be a dominant ball handler at some point. He's not an off-the-ball basketball player. He becomes very average when he's off the ball. But when he has the ball in his hands and can go 94 feet, he's very hard to stop. And so they're going to have to figure out how can we create more opportunities for Russell Westbrook to have the ball in his hand. Does that mean coming off the bench? As I said, does that just mean the substitution pattern, one in which he has that time on the floor without him? But it's the type of situation that for that team is going to take time. And at the end of the day, they are built for the playoffs. That's what they put this team together for. But they would like to have a good position as they get there, because last year, being at the bottom of the West, it's not going to work
right.
if they're going to just be at the bottom of the West and think that they'll just play their way through as they get there. So they're going to have to figure it out quickly. How can they win games while they're figuring it out? But I think there's going to have to be a time where Russell Westbrook is not on the floor with LeBron James to maximize his skill.
Yep, I agree totally. BK, man, we appreciate
Thank
the time,
you for your
as
time,
always,
brother.
Man. Thank you.
Great, man. Good talking to y'all. Enjoy. Have a good day, and then enjoy this nice weather.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.